All right, welcome back. It's been a long time, as my dad would say, since last year, when we were speaking about tefillah as a relationship, and as our tefillahs are more important than ever during this time of war and pain and uncertainty, it's a time of increased focus on tefillah, so we hope that by focusing on tefillah, not only will we have the enhancement of our tefillahs, but also it should be a zechus, tonight's learning should be a zechus for the safety and security of our brothers and sisters in Eretz Yisrael, and all of Am Yisrael. There are a lot of reasons why it's important to be on time for davening. Most simply, because when you're on time for davening, or early for davening, you have time to actually say all the davening. The saying goes, when a person's late for davening, the first thing sacrificed is karbanos. If anything's going to get cut, it's going to be those animals. It's going to be those sections of davening we call karbanos, because we think they're skippable. I've heard Rav Shachar Shlita point out that the obligation to say karbanos every day is actually a greater chiyuv than the obligation to recite Psukei Dezimra. The reason why when someone's late to shul we prioritize saying Psukei Dezimra is because they can't recite it after davening is over. But they are obligated to say karbanos when davening is over. Karbanos isn't as time-bound, and therefore maybe we'll put Psukei Dezimra ahead of it. But in terms of a value system, the obligation to recite karbanos is actually very, very important. The last time we met, we spoke about the idea of Mikdash Ma'at, the idea of our shuls being not just miniature in the sense of smaller versions of the Beis HaMikdash, but really being embassies of the Beis HaMikdash. At a time of Churban, God forbid, when we don't have the Beis HaMikdash proper, we have these embassies of the Mikdash, which have the status of Eretz Yisrael as satellites all throughout the universe. And if that's the case, that the shul has the status of a Mikdash, it would follow that which we offer in our shul should have a status of that which is offered in the Mikdash. In the Mikdash, they offer karbanos, and our tefillos have some sort of status as karbanos. And we've heard this idea before. Yes, we heard this idea that there was never tefillah before, and somehow after the Churban, we no longer had karbanos, then the men of the Great Assembly 2,000 years ago made up for the first time the idea of tefillah to kind of parallel or replace the idea of karbanos, which we're going to analyze tonight and find that that's not correct. It is not correct to say that tefillah is just a replacement for karbanos, but there is a lot to say about the parallel between tefillah and karbanos. In source number 2, the Gemara in Brachos discusses where the origins of formalized tefillah came from, and the Gemara has a machlokas, whether tefillah is avos tiknum, Avram was mesakin shacharis, Yitzhak was mesakin mincha, and Yaakov was mesakin mariv. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, tefillos kinaga timidin tiknum. The tefillos are paralleled after the karbanos, and the times of the karbanos are relevant for the times of tefillah. Why is tefillah up until 4 hours of the day? Because that was the time when they could offer the karban tamid shel shachar, the morning daily offering of the sheep. That was offered in the morning. That's what tefillah shachar is kinagan. And mincha parallels the tamid shel bin arbayim. So mincha katana, you have to know what mincha is. That's because that's the time of the karban tamid shel bin arbayim. And marav is kinagan, the idea of offering up the remainder of the fats and the limbs that weren't offered earlier in the day, so Marav has some kind of connection over there. The Gemara points out that there's only three avos, and there's more than three tefillos. So even the Manda Amar, who holds that tefillos are connected to the avos, there is still some carbon connection. The idea of davening musaf, which are the avos is misakin musaf. No, obviously musaf is related to the karbanos, and the Gemara makes that point very clear. All opinions agree that tefillos that we have, Shemona Esrei, that we have, is somehow paralleled after the idea of karbanos. Now why would that be? Well, we think of them both as avoda. Avoda, which is described in the very beginning of Pirkei Avos in source number 3, as one of the pillars on which the world stands. We have Torah, Avoda, and Gemilas Chasadim. Avoda is defined as, we think of Karbanos. We also think of Avoda, we think of Tefillah, and that is the idea. Rabbeinu Yonah, I gave it to you in source number 4, has a beautiful idea about the pasuk that we say before starting Shmona Esrei, Hashem Sifasai Tiftach Ufi Agit Tehilasecha. Rabbeinu Yonah points out that pasuk in Tehillim was recited by David HaMelech, who felt so upset that he wasn't able to offer a karban after his sin over Bat Sheva. Why? On the second line, Shedavid HaMelech Amro L'pasuk Zeh Al Chatas Bat Sheva, his terrible sin, Shehaya B'mezid V'emevian karban al Azadonos. He couldn't bring a karban on the Mishkan because his sin was not unintentional, and therefore he didn't have the option of bringing a karban. So he says to Hashem, okay, allow my words, Hashem Sifasai Tiftach, Ufi Agit Tehilasecha, give me the strength to daven, because if I'm not able to offer a karban, then allow me. That was at a time when they had karbanos. They had that version of the Avodah, and parallel, at the exact same time, when they had karbanos for those who couldn't bring a karban, because they had the option, animal-wise, mizbeach-wise, but they didn't have the recourse of a karban because it was a sin b'mezid, therefore they turned to tefillah and said, Rabbi Yonah writes so beautifully in the last line, Gam anachnu she'ein lanu karban she'yechaper lanu. We don't have an option to offer karbanos for any of our sins. We say, Hashem sefasai tiftach usakabal tefillah seinu b'makam ha'karbanos. In fact, the idea is that tefillah has more potency, or at least a wider range when we could apply it, when there is no mikdash, or for the kinds of sins that karbanos can't be offered for. Tefillah is a pretty nice thing. So what we're going to focus on tonight is, what is the connection? We see these two things are paralleling each other. Maybe tefillah is more ubiquitous, it applies to more people and more places and more time periods. We have to really delve deep and understand, what is it about tefillah that is really the same as a karban? The first approach, probably the simplest approach, is that maybe tefillah is something that we have to say in place of the karbanos we can no longer offer, which we're going to reject because that's not the entirety of the story. But let's start with this source in the Gemara Maseches Megillah. The Gemara Maseches Megillah, commenting on next week's parsha, talks about the Bris Ben Habasarim. And we aren't really clear exactly what Avram was asking from Hashem, what was he asking for a promise about, and Hashem's response of all these animals and cutting them into pieces, what exactly was Hashem reassuring Avraham. And the Gemara tells us exactly what the back and forth was. In source number 6, Amar Avraham lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono shel Olam, Shem Achas v'Shalom Yisrael Chotem Lefanecha, V'yata Osa Lehem Kedor HaMabul, U'Kedor HaFlaga. What guarantee, Avram asks, do I have that my children will not be wiped out in the face of being undeserving? Amarlo, Hashem says, Lav. It's never going to happen. I promise I'm never going to destroy your children, no matter how sinful they become. So Avram asks, how should I know this? Give me a sign. So Hashem responds, Kechali Egel, Egla Meshuleshes, he offers up karbanos. Hashem's response was, karbanos are the everlasting connection between your children and myself, and as long as they have karbanos, they're guaranteed an ongoing relationship, no matter how sinful they become. Then Avram asks the million-dollar question. Amar lefanav, where it's underlined, Ribono shel Olam, Teinach bizman shebeis hamikdash kayam. When they have the recourse of karbanos, that's great. Bizman she'ein beis hamikdash kayam, matehe aleihem. How will they survive? How will they become able to atone for their sins when there's no option of the beis hamikdash and karbanos? Hashem responds, Amar lo, kivar takanti lehem seder karbanos. They're going to read the psukim of karbanos. They're going to recite the karban tamid in the morning. They're going to say ezahu mekoman, listing all the different types of karbanos. And by reading about the karbanos, says Hashem, kol zman shekorin behen, when they read about the karbanos, they learn meseches menachos and meseches vachim, they learn about the karbanos, they read about the karbanos in davening, Mala ani alehen ki ilu makriven lefanai karban umochel ani al kol avonosam. So on the simplest level, we can't offer karbanos anymore. So we say the psukim, we say the halachos of the karbanos, and that saying is as if we are offering it. This is quoted in Shulchan Aruch, the idea of saying karbanos, mentioned before, the obligation to recite karbanos every single day. And think about that. When we say karbanos, first of all, to come on time, speaking to myself, to come on time to be able to actually say karbanos, to think about the fact that we are offering with our lips, Uneshalma Param Sifasenu, we are offering with our lips the surviving mechanism of Am Yisrael. Hashem promised never to destroy us while we're offering karbanos. And without a mikdash, without a mizbeach, Hashem told us by saying the karbanos, by reading the psukim and the mishnayos about the karbanos, that is offering the karbanos, which allows us to survive. Mishnah Berurah points out in source number 7, it's important not just to say them, but to understand them, to take the time, whether reading it in English or just making sure we're understanding what these karbanos were, when were they offered, how were they offered. It's a very worthy avoda, avoda of the karbanos, avoda of the davening of karbanos. But turning to page number 2, there's another idea. It's not just that we read the technical aspects of the karbanos. Saying karbanos is like breaking karbanos. As we already mentioned before, that tefilos, shmona esrei, was kineged the tamid. There's parallels between not just the psukim of karbanos, but the general theme of davening, or let's say the Amidah, the central focus of davening, the Amidah is supposed to be like a karban. And the Torah in Or HaChaim in source number 8 discusses this idea that davening, not just karbanos, but all of davening needs to be like a karban, and he highlights very many examples of the halachos and the posture that we daven with that really parallels what a karban, how a karban was offered. One example is about the kavana. That the importance of having kavana when we daven is the importance of not having any foreign thoughts that can make the karban piggle. Number 2, he talks about we daven Shmona Esrei standing, just like a Kohen has to stand when doing the Avoda. Our Avoda is Tefillah in our Mikdash Ma'at, so we have to stand like the Kohanim. Number three, having the feet together. The Kohanim were not allowed to walk up steps. The Mizbech has a ramp, so they shouldn't be spreading their legs. We too keep our feet together when we daven. Number four, having a Kviyas Makom. The Karbanos couldn't just be offered anywhere. It was important to have a set place where they were shechted, a set place on the Mizbech where they were, where their blood was offered, and where they were allowed to be eaten. Number five, Shelo Yachutz Davar Beino LeBein Hakir. Person has to be able to daven right by the wall or in front of a bench. Person should not have people walking in front of them. That was the important on having a chatzitza. The Kohen couldn't have a chatzitza under his feet. The Kohen couldn't have a chatzitza between his hands and the carbon, between the carbon's application of blood to the Mizbeach and the Mizbeach. And number six, to be dressed up. When a person wears nice clothes for davening, the Torah says, that is paralleling the Kohanim wearing big day kahuna. So we see, not just in terms of saying karbanos, but really our Shmona Esrei, the ways in which, aside from the time that we can and can't daven, it's all based on how we stand, how we daven, what we wear, where we're standing. The whole idea of davening is supposed to be about a karbon. So if we stopped here, you get the impression that, great, that when we had the real McCoy, when we had the idea of actually offering karbonos, great, we didn't need any of this tefillah stuff. Hashem told Avram, when you have the karbonos, great, and when you don't, then you need to go back and saying karbonos or davening Shmona Esrei with the posture and position of a karbon. So you would get the impression that karbonos was the real avoda, and tefillah is this second-rate replacement option of avoda for people and at a time in which karbonos cannot be offered. However, that is not correct. It is not correct that tefillah is a recent invention. In fact, Chazal, in source number 10 in Maseches Tainis, have a drasha based on Kriya Shema that we say twice a day. Le'avas Hashem Elokeichem, ula'avdo b'chol levavchem. A person has to serve Hashem with their hearts. What does that mean, says the Gemara? Ezo hi avoda shehi b'lev. How do you serve Hashem with your hearts? Well, what is a worship of the heart? Havi omer zot tefillah, which the Rambam in source number 11 counts as a formal mitzvah saseh. And the Taryag mitzvahs, and the 248 positive commandments, the Rambam counts, and this is counted as a mitzvah from the days of Har Sinai, when they had karbonos, and they were offering karbonos, and this is pre-Mishkan, pre-Beis HaMikdash, they were davening already. Not just davening like the Avo is a nice thing to volunteer. They were davening and obligated to daven before they had karbonos. And Rabbeinu Bechai, back in source number 9, commenting on this pasuk in Kriya Shema, which we say is the source for davening, gives us an important reframe, that it's not that davening was made up later on. Davening only became a chiyuv after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. That's not correct. Says Rabbeinu Bechai, it's important to know, ki miyemos Moshe ad anshe kneses hagedola, haisa ad tefillah b'Yisrael, bilti misuderes, b'tikun shavah l'chulan. They had tefillah, they were obligated in tefillah, but there was no set text. There was no unanimous text for everyone to daven. Each person would phrase and form the tefillos according to their own knowledge and their own intelligence. And they composed Shmona Esrei. And they gave it a simple language and a straightforward language everyone could join in. But it's not that tefillah was never an obligation. It was always an obligation to daven. When we had a Mishkan, and we had a Mizbeach, and we had a Mikdash, we always davened. The difference is there wasn't a set text. Further proof that we always had a chiyuv to daven, and it wasn't only post-Korban, is that when Shlomo HaMelech builds the Beis HaMikdash, you think the center of Karbanos, and we discussed this last time, many of the tefillos that he has is asking Hashem to let this be a center of tefillah. Ki beisi beis tefillah yikrei l'chol amim. The house of God is not only a house of Karbanos, it's a house of tefillah. L'shmo el arina vela tefillah. Hashem should consider the Beis HaMikdash a source of tefillah. So clearly it can't be that tefillah was only composed in the aftermath of the Churban to replace the Karbanos. That's definitely not correct. The Mikdash itself was a center of davening. And the greatest proof that they didn't only make up the idea of davening after the Churban is that the Gemara Masechta Sukkah, describing the daily schedule on Sukkot during the Simchas Pesach Shoeva, actually describes both tefillos and Karbanos. The Gemara records the statement of Rabbi Shlomo ben Chananya, who was a Levi, and starts number 13. Kishayinu simechem simchas Pesach Shoeva, lo ra'inu sheina be'einenu. The whole Sukkot we barely slept. Ketzad, shari shon, the first hour of the day, tamid shel shachar. We offered the karban of the morning. Misham l'tfila. They went right from offering the karban tamid shel shachar to davening shacharis. Misham l'karban musaf. Misham l'tfilas musaf. They went from offering the karban musaf to davening musaf. Misham, they would go study, they would go learn, they would go eat something. Misham letfilas mincha, misham letamatzu ben arbayim. They were going mamish right from the karbanos to the davening, or davening to the karbanos, and they were parallel. After all, that source we started out with, the Gemara didn't say that tefilos were replacing the karbanos. The Gemara said tefilos keneged temidin. This is exactly what the Gemara is talking about. They were side by side. A person would go right from davening to the karbon, or from the karbon to the davening. They were in tandem. It wasn't that tefila came later on and replaced the idea of karbanos. It means that the obligation to formalize tefila became more important when we no longer had its corollary. Karbanos and tefila were always in tandem. There were these two branches of avoda that allowed a person to connect to Hashem in a very special way, which we'll talk about in just a few minutes. And when we had them both, we had them both. And when we lost the option of offering karbanos, it became of paramount importance that our tefilos made sure to cover everything. The tefilos picked up the slack that was now missing because the karban branch of avoda was no longer an option. But it's not that tefilos suddenly woke up and became part of the picture after that. The chiyuv to daven was always there. The chiyuv to daven was in tandem, keneged the temidin. And it was when we lost the option of offering karbanos as animals in the mikdash, on the mizbeach, then we have these obligations to make sure we're saying all the right brachos and we're all davening the same text. The men of the Great Assembly made sure to do that post-churban, to formalize tefillah, but the obligation, the need, and the existence of tefillah clearly existed all the times that we had the Torah, all the times that we had mitzvos upon us. So now we have to reorient ourselves. We have to have a different conclusion. We have to figure out what is it about karbanos and tefillah that accomplish the same thing. It's not just about saying the words in the absence of the offering, because those things were, at some point in history, for a long part of history, going side by side. Why should those things go side by side? We're familiar with the idea of tefillah being a karban, so we don't question it, but let's think about it. What is it about taking an animal, checking it for blemishes, cutting it, offering its blood and fats on the mizbeach, and eating the meat that has anything to do with waking up early, trudging off to shul, opening up a book, hopefully the right way up, and saying a couple of words? Why would those things be the same? Why would those things be two branches of avoda? And why would tefillah pick up the slack missing with the lack of the base of mikdash? Why are those things the same at all? So to understand how tefillah really is a karban, we need to better understand what is a karban. What exactly was a karban? What was it designed to do? And that'll give us focus for what exactly we're trying to do with our tefillah and how our tefillah is supposed to be accomplishing that always, even with a karban, but especially now when we don't have the option to supplement the avodah with the karban. Rav Shapshon Raphael Hirsch, at the beginning of Sefer Vayikra, describes what he thinks a karban is not. And what he says a karban is not is what everyone says it is. Colloquially, he says, people say a karban is an offering. A karban is a sacrifice. Both of which Rav Hirsch thinks are untenable. A karban, he says, can't mean an offering, which means some kind of gift, hagasha, presenting a present. Because a present implies that you're giving someone something that they don't have. How can we take the things Hashem gives us, give them back to Him and say, here you go? What are we presenting to Him if He has it? It's like going into someone's house, picking up their cookie jar and saying, here you go, why don't you have one? Make yourself at home. Like, I will, get out. Like, what are you talking about? This is my house, this is my stuff. You can't give me my stuff and claim they're giving me a present. Furthermore, the idea of sacrifice implies that we're giving something of ourselves, we're giving it up. Giving it up? Picture a parent who gives a child an allowance. So the parent gives a child an allowance of $20 a week. Maybe that's very generous, I don't know, depends where you grew up. Parent gives a child $20 a week, and now it's Father's Day, or it's the father's birthday. A child says, you know, Dad, here's $10 back. Thanks for being a great dad. I gave you that money. So you're going to take some of the money, give it back to me, and have the chutzpah to call it either a present or a sacrifice? I gave you those things. How can it possibly be that a karban, Rav Hirsch says, us giving back to Hashem the animals that He gave us, the money that He gave us, to present it back to Him and call have the chutzpah to call it a sacrifice, to call it an offering? He doesn't think so. Rather, on the top of page number 3, Rav Hirsch writes, very simply, from the word karban. Ach musag ha-karban rachok mikol eile. It's not about presenting anything or offering anything, gifting anything, sacrificing anything. Rav Hirsch points out, ein lahavin oso ela al pi horas ha-shoresh karav, which means, Hein perish karav kimashmo lehit karev, to come close. Lahagi alide yechasim hadukim im ploni, to form a deep bond, a deep relationship with someone else. And more mayata, says Rav Hirsch, if karbon means a closeness, hatachlis vahatotza shel hakrava, the benefit and the purpose and the end goal of offering a karbon, hi hasaga chiyuvit shel kiyum na'ala yoter, something much more everlasting than just a quick present that Hashem eats and throws away. Ratzon hamakriv, we earn Hashem's favor, we earn His love. Shadavar mishalo, yagi lidei yachasim krovim im Hashem. We're using objects that we have to form a bond with Hashem. At the end where he writes, tachlis hakarban hi kirvas elokim. Offering the karbon is really about coming close to Hashem. Now we're starting to see, without really any details yet, but just the umbrella is, now we're starting to see how tefillah and karbanos are somehow in the same category. It's not as different as I presented it before. There's something that they have in common and that we're trying to get close to Hashem. We've been describing throughout this entire series about tefillah being a means to get close to Hashem. It isn't about pressing the right button. It's also about that. It isn't only about pressing the right buttons and pulling on midas harachamim. That's also true. It's about changing ourselves, like Rav Yosef Albo said. It's about not being the same people. It's about becoming people who are deserving of different things, or connecting ourselves to the klal and changing the fate of Am Yisrael. We're paying attention to times of great desperation and times of great pain as signs for Hashem to come closer to Him. If that's the case, now the idea of kurva, the idea of closeness, is starting to make sense. But the key question now is how? How, in fact, does offering this animal bring closeness to Hashem? And you're taking a smelly beast, and you're cutting it, and you're putting parts of it on this altar, and parts of it are going up to heaven. How does that bring closeness with Hashem? I'd like to suggest that by using the two definitions that Rav Hirsch rejected, and bringing them back, and defending those two definitions, we can actually get to his tachlis. Yes, a korban is, as he pointed out from the word korban, about kirvu, about kurva, about this kirvas elokim. But the way in which offering a karbon accomplishes that is the fact that it's an offering, a gift, and is the fact that it is some type of sacrifice. So let's explain. How is a karbon a gift? How are we giving Hashem the things that already belong to Him? We're going in His house and we're handing Him these things that already belong to Him. Why would that be an offering? Why would that be a gift? The Maharal, I gave it to you in source number 15. The Maharal writes that the idea of avoda, what is avoda? What does it mean to be an eved? What does it mean to be full of abdus? It's avoda that encapsulates karbanos and tefillah, says the Maharal. Ki b'masha anu ovdim lo. What does it mean to serve Hashem? Mora shahanim tzaim nitlim bo yisbarach. That everything we observe in the universe, we attribute to Him. Kimoha eved shenitla ba'adon shalo. Just like an eved hangs everything that he has, his whole life, his existence, all the property that the servant owes. By being subservient, the servant demonstrates that everything belongs to the master. That everything belongs to Hashem. Ooh, that's a good language. It's not about giving Hashem things that belong to us. Who are we kidding? It's about returning the objects to Hashem, returning them back to Hashem. Kasher makrivim elav hakarban, just like offering a karban, which is about giving Him back these things. You know, my one-year-old likes to crawl around the house and find things that I put down in a secure place. I guess not secure enough. And he finds them. He finds my glasses. He finds my watch. He finds my keys. He finds my whatever. And he brings them to me. So what's he doing? Aside from nearly breaking my glasses all the time. What's he doing? Why is he going around grabbing my shoes and walking on his knees and going, You know what he's doing? He's saying, I know this is yours. These are your glasses, Abba. These are your keys, Abba, that I've slobbered all over. This is your kippah that I've stolen off your head. These are your things, Abba. Look, I know it's yours. He's looking for a relationship. And it brings me, Nachas, to see him find my stuff, I guess, and bring it to me. He's not giving me things that I don't have. They are my shoes. It is my watch. They are my keys. But he's building a relationship by saying, look, I know that this stuff is yours, and I want you to have them. And that's a warm feeling that I have. Think of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who puts stuff in the world, and then the Eved, Bnei Yisrael, take them, and they donate them to Hashem, whether it's karbanos, whether it's things to Bet HaKabayis, tables and chairs and horses, wagons to the temple for the upkeep, and a person says, I want to make this hektish. I want to offer a karban. It's not because I'm gifting Hashem something he's lacking. The person didn't like the language of matana, of offering, hagasha. But the Maharal is telling us that that's what builds kurva, to give it back to him and say, hey, I know this is yours. By the same token, the Mabit, 500 years ago, Yosef Karo's contemporary, in Beis Elokim, in source number 16, writes, that's what tefillah is all about. Kavanas ha-tefillah hi lahakir ulahoros ki ein ba'olam lemisha roi lesbalel ki em lakel yisbarach. The whole point of davening is for us to recognize that nothing in the world can be accomplished without Hashem, without davening to Hashem. Shehu adol l'chol ha'olam. And that we are lacking everything, and we only have them, whether it's health or children or parnasa, whatever it is that we think we have, it's all because of Hashem. When we daven for parnasa, it's as much as we are asking Hashem for them, we are also acknowledging Hashem is the source of parnasa and children and health and peace in Eretz Yisrael. By davening to Hashem, we acknowledge that they're His. That's what a karban is. A karban is taking everything around us and attributing it to Hashem. And that's an avoda. An avoda from the lashon of eved, of subservience. A person can become subservient when they truly feel dependent upon Hashem, that all their needs are based on Hashem. When a person takes their objects and is makdish them and elevates them and offers them to Hashem, they are saying, this is yours, and I know it's yours. When we daven, we're doing the exact same thing. I turn to you for refuah. I turn to you for parnasa. I turn to you for peace. I turn to you for hatzlacha, because that shows that it's yours. I give it back to you. I make myself an eved. I make myself subservient. That's the kurva. That's the closeness that comes when a person davens. Davening is itself a karban. Davening accomplishes what a karban is accomplishing. That a person feels completely indebted, a person feels completely connected, a person feels completely with avdus to Hashem. The second definition that Rav Hirsch did not like is the idea of a sacrifice. And we can understand why. What exactly are we sacrificing? What exactly are we giving up in the performance of a karban, or a tefillah for that matter? What exactly are we sacrificing? But the reality is, sacrifice is an important aspect of tefillah, is an important aspect of offering up a karban. In fact, Meshech Chachman, last week's parsha, describes why it is certain things were allowed to be used for karbanos, and certain things were not. Going back to the very first karban in history, we had a lot of firsts in Bereishis. We had the first day of creation, we had the first man, the first woman, the first sneaky snake, we had the first karban and the first failed karban. And Rashi comments that the reason why Hashem took Hevel's karban is because it was the best quality stuff, and Kayin's stuff was low quality, low grade of his vegetables. But the reality is, Meshech Chachma points out in source number 18, that can't be the whole story. Because if you look to Sefer Vayikra, Hevel's idea of what a karban should be was accepted, and Kayin's idea of a karban was rejected. Not only their particular karbanos at that one story in history, but Kayin's idea of offering up fruits and vegetables on the Mizbeach was rejected. We are not allowed to offer up karbanos of fruits and vegetables. We have bikurim, but those are not offered on the Mizbeach. We don't have a concept of offering fruits and vegetables on the Mizbeach. In fact, it's a prohibition to offer honey or any fruit extract on the Mizbeach. It's called seor. Meperos, we don't offer that in karbanos. By contrast, Hevel's idea of offering animals was accepted. That's the basics of what a karban is. It's an animal. And the question is why? Putting quality aside, why was Hevel's idea of a karban being an animal, which we think of mainstream, but let's ask the question how it became mainstream. Why was Hevel's idea of karbanos accepted? And why was Kayin's conception of what a karban should look like rejected? It says in Meshech Chachma in the second paragraph, in source number 18. V'hainyan muskal makes a lot of sense. Ki lo b'char Hashem v'korban ki em b'shtatev ma'aseh ha'adam b'zeh. Hashem does not want the same things he gave to you, like the kid who hands back $10 to his dad and says, keep the change, you're a great father. It doesn't build a relationship. It doesn't do anything for a person to give back Hashem the same things Hashem gave to him or her. Kimo bal chai sha'adam toreach betipulo. God gives a person an animal, and the person has to raise the animal. Ubegidulo, has to feed the animal. L'chein asra Torah mechusar zman. A karban cannot be offered during its first week of life. Shekevan shenolad v'hu nigmar, mehatavo bovad lo yiratzeh. God does not want you to give back to him what he gave to you. He blesses you with a sheep, and you say, here's your sheep. And God says, I gave you that. What are you doing? Rather, a person needs to invest time in the animal. A person needs to give up sleepless nights to feed the animal, walk the animal, fatten up the animal, care for the animal for a week, and then, after the animal's already been invested in, after a person is involved in raising and feeding and caring for the animal, then it's offered after 8 days, then now it could be a carbon. And the same thing with things that grow from the ground. V'chein ha'pri, kevan shegidulo nigmar mehateva bovad, the apple grows on the tree, the apple falls off the tree. It's true, it takes a lot of work for a person to plant an apple tree. But from the time the apple is picked off the tree, when the apple is fully received and able to be eaten by a person, there's no more work to do. At that point, it's taking it as it is and giving it to Hashem. And that's not acceptable because you're giving it back the $10 he gave you. Lachain, where it's underlined, lo yiretzel lemincha rak solas chitim. We do have products on the Mizbeach that are produced from things that grow from the ground, but they're processed. You have flour. You don't give the wheat to Hashem. Take the wheat, and you grind the wheat, and you make it into flour, and you could offer the flour to Hashem. You can take the grapes, make it into wine, let it ferment, and offer the wine as libations to Hashem. You take the olives, make it into oil. You could offer that. We could offer things that aren't animals. The flour, the wine, the oil. It's just that we have to invest ourselves. We have to be mishtatvim, as Meshech Hakma calls it. We have to be involved. Going back to the allowance, Meshel. Yes, it's very silly for the kid to take $10 out of the allowance and give it back to his father. But what if the kid took $10 and went to the drugstore and bought Oak Tag and marker with that money? Took the time to write, Happy Father's Day, Dad. You're a great dad. I appreciate all that you do for me. Love, son. And gives it to the father. What's the father going to say? How did you pay for this Oak Tag? How did you pay for this markers? Who gives you the ability to be alive in the house with a roof over your head and a table to... No, the father understands that I gave you the resources, but you took those resources and invested your time and your energy and your creativity to go out there and make something out of the basics that I gave you, and then you gave it back to me. And now you've sacrificed something. You've invested something of yourself in it. The time, the thought, the caring, that builds a relationship. Rav Hirsch didn't like the idea of offering up a carbon because he felt, what are you sacrificing? The answer is, you're right. Like the Meshech Hakma says, if we give back exactly what he gave to us, you're right, that's not a sacrifice. But if our mishtatef, we raise the animal, we crush the grapes, we make oil and flour, and we give it back to Hashem, that was Hevel's idea. Hevel's conception was correct, and Kayin's was wrong. Even aside from the quality issue, Hevel's idea of a person giving to Hashem that which they invested in, what they sacrificed for, that builds the kurva Rav Hirsch was talking about. That's what a carbon really is all about. But a person who bypasses all that, takes the shortcut and says, all right, here's it right back to you, the same vegetables, the same fruits, the same money, that doesn't build any kurva, because there's no sacrifice. Rav Pinkus makes this idea very clear and says it in a beautiful way in source number 19, where he writes, karbanos are an expression of love between a adam laboro, between a person and his creator, like a person who gives flowers to their loved one. Lama pnei shehasheni zakuk leprachim. The spouse needs the flowers. You could tell he was a man. He obviously had his own version of what flowers are, what they're not. But he says, the person doesn't need flowers. Oh my goodness, the house was so stinky, and then you gave me all these sweet-smelling jasmines, lilies, and now the house smells great. Flowers are not functional, which is why guys forget to buy them. I'm speaking about my own mistakes over here. But we don't think of them as functional, so we say, what's the point of them? You're right. If you're thinking about purpose and point and functionality and problem solving, they are pretty useless. The purpose of giving flowers, of giving a gift to someone, is ela kibitoi shelahava. It's an expression of love. And Rav Pinkus writes, that's what a carbon is. When a person goes to Hashem and they say, I'm offering up a carbon either because I did a sin and I feel so bad about rupturing our relationship, I'm offering a carbon chatas or asham, or a person who didn't do anything wrong but still says, I'm feeling distant, I'm feeling inspired now to work on the relationship and offer a carbon ola and have something beautiful, offer a carbon shlamim, I would like to go further in our relationship. And a person takes that representation of physicality and a person slaughters the animal and offers the blood, offers the fats, as if to say, I'm negating my sense of self. That's how the Rishonim explain what a carbon's all about. Really, I should be killed, and I'm offering, God gave me the mercy of being able to offer the animal instead. What a person is really doing is saying to Hashem, I'd do anything for you. I would literally kill myself for you. I would give up whatever it takes, work myself to the bone. That's what love is. A person says, I would do anything for you. I'd give up life itself if it meant having a relationship with you. That's what he writes. Kishem she, where it's underlined. Kishem she karban hu bitoy lehespatluso shel adam lefnei boro ad kidei shefichas damo lemano yisbarach. A karban is an expression of just how much we're trying to negate any sense of selfishness. a person showing devotion to Hashem, kach ha-tfila. Tfila does the exact same thing. He regesh shel his batlus gemura lefnei habore. It's a person negating their sense of arrogance, a sense of self. Haynu ha-akara shekol ma sheyesh ba'olam bechlal uba'olami befrat hakol mimenu yisbarach. Everything is from Hashem. I desire that relationship. It's not about me. It's about Hashem. Ba'kol shelo v'rak bi'adola seyes, and everything is only up to Hashem. So tefillah is all about. And here's the kicker. Here's where sacrifice becomes most critical. In the last paragraph. U'be'emes mishalo is raga levo bizman oso eser hadakos lefnei ha-tefillah kashos alvaro kimavas. Person comes late to davening and they have to catch up. It feels torturous because coming to davening is a hard thing to do on time. We have to give of ourselves to come to shul. When I'm in shul, I'm in shul. And there's nowhere else I could be. The phone goes off and all my outside business dealings are shut down. All the people I was texting, all the conversations. When Ashrei starts, the phone goes off. When Huracham starts, when Baruch Hu starts, everything goes off. I'm shutting out the outside. I'm killing the outside world. I'm sacrificing and getting rid of the things that I want right now, and instead I'm devoting fundamental time to Hashem. He writes where it's bolded, Inyan zeh be'etzen nogea l'kavod shemayim. Hari ha'kavod ha'pashat b'yosa, the greatest honor that you can give to anyone else, human or divine, hu lahakdish lo ma'atzman, to give them your attention. I told the story before about a big executive who was always too busy for his family. Kids and spouse would try to talk to him, and he was on his phone making a business deal. He said he charged $500 an hour. So any minute he wasn't texting or responding or billing or calling, it was a lost wages, and he's doing it for his family, of course. And often his kid would try to come to him and ask, can I talk to you for a second? Nothing, nothing, nothing. Oh, yeah, I'll be with you 1 second. Father was busy the whole night. Finally, the kid comes over one time and pulls $20 out of his pocket and says, Dad, do you have a minute? I really need your attention. Giving someone the attention, showing someone that you're with them, is the greatest sign of love. I'm doing it for you. I'm buying all these things for you. It doesn't build a relationship. It builds a house. It builds fancy vacations. But doesn't build a closeness. The father and son are close when you have time for me. Do you have time for me? Do you have time for me? Do you have time where you can put away your phone and your mind is not elsewhere? When you're with me, you're with me? When you're with me, are you with me? Do I have your attention? Do I have your focus? Do we have this intimate moment together? The chiyesh elbon gadol yoser milomar, a terrible insult. La adam ein li penai b'shilcha, I don't have 5 minutes for you. What a slap in the face. What does it say about our relationship? With a spouse, with a child, with a parent, with a loved one, a neighbor. You don't have 5 minutes for me? And we come in and we're so rushed, he says, for davin, and we just say, okay, I need parnasa, refuah, chayim, and all these things, and sim shalom, and bye. Hashem says, you don't have time to davin and say all the words, and stop and think about what you're asking for. You quickly rush through all these requests without really thinking about them. Where tefillah becomes a sacrifice is to realize that we're devoting ourselves to Hashem. We're investing of ourselves. We're investing time to come to shul. We're investing time to be in shul. We're investing time to shut everything else out and off so that when we're there, we're there. And that's a sign of love. We first talked about kurva. The way to get the kurva is for a person to kill out any sense of self right now. What slaughtering a karban does, it's supposed to inspire a person about the hispatalis, the negation of any sense of physicality and sense of self for the next few minutes. That's what tefillah does. Tefillah is for a person to shut themselves off, to turn themselves off, and to say, I'm here. And when I'm here, I'm here. I'm early enough, and I'm focused enough, and I'm concentrating enough, and it's a sacrifice of time and a sacrifice of effort. I'm taking what you gave me, and I'm making it something that builds a relationship close together. That's the idea of tefillah being a karban. Again, which clearly was not something that only came once we had no more karbanos. The idea that karban was able to accomplish another branch of this avoda, Maharal said about devoting everything to Hashem, offering back his own things as a way of us acknowledging that belong to him, tefillah comes along and says, we need to acknowledge all the things that belong to him. When we had karbanos, it wasn't as important to list every single thing. In the absence of karbanos, men of the Great Assembly came along and formalized, everyone has to say all these things, because now there's a greater obligation for tefillah to pick up the other half, and now make sure that we're being avadim, we're showing Hashem all the ways in which we're dependent upon him, all the ways in which that we need him. And at first didn't like the idea of calling it a sacrifice, but now we've seen the idea of a carbon with a person negating their sense of self, devoting themselves in terms of time and focus to Hashem. And without the karbanos, we always had tefillah doing the same thing, but now tefillah takes on a greater role, greater responsibility to take that time, to devote the time to Hashem, however long it takes, to come early, to say the karbanos, and for a person to develop that relationship. I'll just end off with the beautiful words of the Aksava HaKabbalah in Parshas Vayikra, where he describes the term Reach Nichoach. We're familiar with the term when it comes to karbanos of Reach Nichoach, which you can take literally, is about a certain smell that the animals have. Then you go to the farm and you think, like this is not what we're talking about. There's no sweet smell of feathers for birds or for wool or animals doing whatever they're doing. Like that is not what the pasuk is talking about. So Rashi and Chumash says the Reach Nichoach is that God gave you a command and a person is following the Ratzon HaBorei. That is the Reach Nichoach that a person is offering to Hashem what he asked for. On top of that, the Haksav HaKabbalah points out that smell is an interesting imagery. Smell connotes a person who is in the prelude to something really good about to happen. The sizzle before the actual eating of the steak. And they come to you in the restaurant and they put the thing in the wok down and they pour the stuff in and it sizzles right in front of you. That sizzle, that Reach Nichoach is meant to whet the appetite. It's not the end. If you walk in and you get the nice smell and you leave, you're starving. Perhaps even hungrier than when you came in. Just having the Reach Nichoach is not enough to satisfy you. The Reach Nichoach is only meaningful if it is followed by the actual steak, followed by the actual delicious meal, followed by the actual satiation. It does well when it portends that something meaningful is coming, but the meaningful things have to come next. And the Aksav HaKabbalah writes, when a person offers a karban, it's a Reach Nichoach as if to say, this is just a prelude. This is a person making an effort to say, I want to have a relationship with Hashem. I plan on fixing my sins. I plan on becoming closer to Hashem, whether it's a chatas or an ola. I plan on being better going forward. I took the time. It was a financial expense. It was a big tircha to come from Tel Aviv here to Jerusalem to offer this animal. But I'm doing it because I want to atone for my sin. I want to be better in the future. I want to be closer to Hashem going forward. That's a Reach Nichoach. Hashem says, great. I can't wait for the actual steak. This is wonderful. This is a great preliminary step. And this moment I feel that the connection is coming. Something amazing is about to happen. The karbon isn't the end. The karbon is the means. It's the Reach Nichoach that comes before the actual delicious connection, for the actual delicious relationship. And tefillah works exactly the same way. Tefillah by itself is wonderful. Tefillah by itself is a karbon. But if we think about tefillah as a relationship, the tefillah needs to be followed up with devotion throughout the day. We've talked about davening throughout the day. Tefillah needs to be followed up with a person who actually feels that connection to Hashem closer. The tefillah is the Reach Nichoach. Tefillah is the avoda. Tefillah is that which portends that there's going to be something much more meaningful and desirous on the way. These are our takeaways for this evening as we look to wake up early tomorrow to say karbanos. Number one, our tefillahs are in place of karbanos. That's true. We read karbanos as part of davening to make up for the fact we can't bring the karbanos. We actually read the Parshas HaTamid on Shabbos. We read about the Musaf. Number two, Amidah itself, Shemona Esrei, parallels the karbon in terms of how we say it, where we say it. The Torah pointed out all the connections over there. The reality is, on top of that, tefillah has always been a mitzvah, even when we also had karbanos, because karbanos allow us to build a kurva, a relationship with Hashem that's close, which tefillah always did, and now more than ever, is expected to do. Both karbanos and tefillah acknowledge everything belongs to Hashem. That's the offering, Maral's idea, that we, as avadim, as the avoda, show Hashem everything belongs. We're giving it back to Him, showing we acknowledge where everything comes from. Number two, both karbanos and tefillos are a way of showing we're investing ourselves. We're willing to make sacrifices to Hashem. We're willing to give up of our time and our mental energy to turn off our phones, to turn off our lives, to be misbatal ourselves, for a person to actually invest, like the Meshech Chachma says, for a person to be mishtatef, to give back to Hashem the meaningful project that builds that closeness. As the Haksav HaKabbalah said, these are what inspire us to commit to becoming better. Tefillah as a relationship, tefillah as Korban, as a kurva, as coming close to Hashem, showing that this is not the end, this is just the beginning, and that's what's pleasing to Hashem. So it's all b'zochem to have back one day the Beis HaMikdash with the actual karbanos, and in the meantime, we'll focus on being able to daven every single day, to really commit ourselves, to sacrifice ourselves, and ultimately have that kurva in connection with the Kodesh Baruch Hu.